Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There's some new research out there that shows that gray divorces, silver splitters, diamond divorces is on the rise. And although the overall divorce rate has fallen 29% from 1979 to 2017, reaching its lowest point in 40 years, for those 50 and older in that same period, it has tripled. Brad Forche, certified financial planner with Forche Financial, joins us to talk about this phenomenon. Brad, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Noel. How are you?
Doing great. You know, Brad, when we talk about gray divorces, you've raised your kids, you've done what you need to do relative to them. Obviously, you probably hear the stories and have dealt with the issues. How much of this is financial as opposed to other reasons that you've seen in your experience?
Oof. I actually haven't run across too many gray divorce situations. So I don't know that I can speak to that too much. But, I mean, obviously the financial issues are huge in any marriage. And, when you're getting married, you're basically entering into a business contract. You almost want to think of it more as a merger these days because of how involved the state is in the process. And, I think financial pressure is probably a big reason why they do end. And I think, the consequences of divorce are significant.
In dealing with your clients, do you see situations where there might be, one spouse that has a challenge managing finances? They may spend too much. They struggle with debt. They struggle with finding that balance financially in their marriage.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. I guess the way that I look at it is the money is really just the expression of value. So I think what's really at odds in a lot of conflicting marriages, we blame it on the finances or the money, but I think really deep down it's an underlying, difference in values. And I think it just manifests through spending behavior, investing behavior, and savings behavior. So my sense would be that it's a deeper difference in the relationship, and the money is just how that manifests.
And obviously, when there is the split up, there's typically there's one sophisticated party and one that may not be as sophisticated. Have you seen where there might be issues? And it seems as though the data seems to say that if the male is more successful as kind of the breadwinner, the divorce rate goes down. If the female is more successful in the partnership, actually the divorce rate actually goes up. Have you seen that?
Huh. I can't speak to that very much. I mean, I know obviously times are changing, and I know, there are plenty more female breadwinners in households. I know several people where the wife is the primary breadwinner. I can't speak to how that impacts the relationship outcomes any, but it's certainly a consideration these days because that scale is definitely tilted, more equally.
When talking with your clients, have you seen that there's a difference in the approach as to who is the primary breadwinner sometimes?
It's interesting. I think more old school people, I think there's typically kind of one person in the household who kind of manages the finances, the checkbook. I think, nowadays, the more younger kids I meet, I get a lot of young people in my office and, they're trying to explore, what are the best practices. Maybe it's because they grew up in families where finances were always an issue and a conflict. But, I see young people wanting to make proactive planning decisions and you know, really trying to think through financial issues prior to marriage, you know, and right when they get started. I think it's a mixed bag. I think I see a lot of people who kind of do the shared joint checking account where everything's kind of equal and we watch all the expenses, you know, together. And then I see situations where, you know, the husband and the wife both keep basically completely separate financial pictures and just kind of manage their routine that way.
In your experience, do you see folks that are articulating more now that they want their money to work for them as opposed to them working for their money?
Oh, I mean, I think isn't that the that's the dream we all all share for sure.
But do you hear that being articulated more today than you have historically?
Probably so. I mean, you know, look, older generations, you know, the older generations kind of came up in a time where 401ks were non-existent to relatively new. The old deal between older couples and their employers was basically you work for me for 30 years and at the end I give you a grandfather clock and a pension. And so you never really had to, save, learn about investing, you know, and handle your own money. And now, you know, past 15, 20 years, I think that's completely shifted. So I certainly think there's more engagement on the part of individuals to proactively try and invest their own money, make good decisions and plan wisely.
And that, you know, when you talk about the pension, a lot of those were defined benefit plans as opposed to defined contribution plans where you had, you know, a pre-established benefit that you were going to receive after so many years and you knew, you know, had a pretty good idea as to what that was going to be, as opposed to, you know, having the discipline now to contribute money towards your savings, right?
Correct. And not only the discipline to save, but, you know, I think also the uncertainty as to what the future returns are going to be. It just makes planning for your future a little bit trickier when we acknowledge the uncertainty of the future. I think the pension sounded great on paper. But I think what a lot of the pension funds are going to slowly learn is making large guarantees to people in uncertain return environments is probably going to prove challenging. I think even for the existing pensioners, I think probably in the next 5 years, you're going to hear more and more about a lot of those pensions being underfunded.
Yeah. What do you see as, you know, when we think about Social Security, and this issue comes up, I think, a lot for this generation of when you're talking about gray divorces, a lot of folks say, well, I'm going to rely on my Social Security, and then they fast recognize and realize that that generates a lot of sacrifices because the quality of life that you have while working as opposed to going on Social Security if you haven't saved money puts a lot of pressures on a relationship.
I mean, no question. Financial pressure is huge. Social Security is basically just that. It's a social safety net we created, but it's certainly not going to, you know, provide a wealthy lifestyle. But, you know, on the flip side, I know plenty of people who are living rather comfortably on Social Security and a modest additional income. And I think it boils down to, you know, you hear a lot these days about having to sacrifice and everything else. My observation, though, from, you know, my own life working with clients is once we ratchet up our lifestyles, we don't like to reverse them any. And we also live in a society that kind of, you know, when I was growing up, the summer family trip a lot of times was going camping or whatever. And, you know, now we're doing, you know, $3,000 and $4,000 and $5,000 beach vacation. So we've certainly ratcheted up our expenses, I think. But I think it's untrue to think that you can't still lead a high quality of life, maybe not spending as lavishly on things.
Absolutely. And it probably comes down to two words, reasonable expectations.
Reasonable expectations for sure.
Absolutely. Brad Fauché, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate your insight. We'll be right back after the break. We want to hear from you, 260-1870 or text 870-870. Have you been involved in a gray divorce? And what do you think is fueling this? Have you just grown apart from one another? You've raised the kids. You're empty nesting. Is it finances? Are you looking for something different or what you perceive to be better? We'll be right back. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. There's a great article in Kiplinger that's talking about the reasons for gray divorce. And obviously, we just discussed the financial management side of it and, you know, talked about earnings, whether the husband increases his earnings or the wife increases her earnings. It seems as though a lot of the data shows that marriage grows stronger when the husband's earnings are increased. And conversely, the marriage more often falls apart when the wife's earnings increase, which I thought was kind of odd. One of the other things that they talk about is just growing apart, that everybody is so focused on raising their children if there are children of the marriage. And sometimes it may be that folks have been remarried already and they have children from the first, children from the second, and the pressures after all those years, when they reach that proverbial empty nest syndrome, that a lot of times the partners were so dedicated to the lives of their children that when the kids are gone, they wonder, what's next? And they never really develop their own identity in the relationship, is what they point out in the article. And obviously, divorce becomes an option. And on the text line, someone texts in and says, gray divorce is probably caused by that Viagra blue pill thing driving old man crazy. Actually, they talk about that in a number of other articles as well as it relates to infidelity, that with dating sites and hooking up and married persons and talking about casual relationships, whether online or offline or otherwise, that has done it. And also the stigma around divorce is substantially less than what it once was at one time. Interestingly, the data shows that folks that have been married before, married twice, married three times, that the propensity for divorce goes up the more that you've been married, the more times you've been married. And a lot of it is intrinsically linked to something that was pointed out in Don Ames' article here at WWL about this, in talking to one of the local divorce lawyers, Stephen Rue, where he says, there's a strong feeling that you're going to be able to change someone. What are your thoughts? 260-1870 or text 870-870. Is it a little bit of this or a combination of all? Also, statistically, what moves these numbers in a lot of cases is that there are better health and life expectancy rates. We're living longer, right? So if you were dying younger, you didn't have the time period in which you could engage in a divorce. And as you're living longer, it's changing that because the age group that we're looking at is 50 and older. So as that presents itself, there's a better opportunity or more opportunity, I should say, in order to reach a divorce. And then there's the addictive disorder, whether that be drugs or alcohol. In this area, gaming has been a big issue that has brought to the forefront financial pressures of gaming addictions. And these dependencies have put additional financial strains on a relationship. So the data is revealing all of the number of different things to try and explain about baby boomers. But the one thing that I found more interesting than not about a cause and effect that they refer to in this series of articles is that baby boomers tend to be individualists, that they place their needs and their happiness ahead of that of others. And that this and this alone, and that attitude, and that approach to the relationship can help foster and lead to infidelity in the marriage. Because they're looking to satisfy their needs first and everybody else's second. And there's not this collective within this relationship of trying to meet each other's needs. And they say that sometimes the lack of communication in not articulating one's expectations of one another and the inability to do so is what helps foster this environment or culture where some folks are moving down this path and the other, they're not even talking about it. They're not talking about it at all. Love to hear from you, 260-1870 or text 870-870. What do you think is driving these gray divorces and its implications? And obviously, in the end, it doesn't really matter at what age you're going through it. The process of adapting, I guess, to this change in the familial environment or the dynamics around the family, it's going to be difficult. And when you talk about dividing up assets and property, that's never easy. And what you think that your life course is, and when it gets disrupted and then having to adjust to those disruptions, which may mean that your standard of living or your spouse's standard of living is impaired as a result of a divorce, that can be very difficult to deal with as well. We'll be right back after the break. We're going to be playing a little Queen music because the wife and I are going to go see Queen tonight. Very much looking forward to that. They're in town. And by the way, you know who else is in town on Friday? David Sanborn. If you've not listened to his album called Double Vision, which is iconic and has been around forever and a day, pull that up. You'll definitely go out there and see David Sanborn at the Sanger on Friday as well. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, we're back, and we're going to go to the talk lines. Let's go to Chuck out there in Metairie. What say you, Chuck?
Hey, Noel. How you doing?
Doing great.
Yeah, my wife and I split up. I guess you'd call it gray. I mean, it was we were in our late 50s. We had four kids together. And obviously we got married. At one point we loved each other. And I think we still to this day have feelings, you know, good, bad, or indifferent for each other. Some good, some bad. But I think maybe what the phenomenon is at least for our decision, you know, we didn't want to break the family up while the kids were young. And maybe it wasn't a good situation all the time. Maybe it wasn't, you know, it could have been better at different times. It wasn't a terrible situation. Maybe it affected the kids to some degree, but we decided to stay together until the kids were, we felt adequately secure enough to take care of themselves, and that got us into our older age, obviously. And then we both made a conscious decision to go our separate ways, and I think we're both happier for it, to be honest with you. Kids weren't crazy about it even as older children, but still, they understood. You know, they knew things weren't perfect, and sometimes things just aren't perfect, and you know, do something better if it makes you happier on both sides sometimes.
Chuck, did you go through a process where you looked yourself in the mirror and said, you know, what were my frailties? What did I bring to this relationship that was a failure or a problem?
Oh, well, I mean, we both did. And I think we both understood that it wasn't just one-sided. We both had different desires. We both did things that we both shouldn't have done. You know, and sometimes, you know, no matter how much you try, you know, you get beyond a point of salvaging it. It's like, it's okay. You know, we've said I'm sorry so many times. We've done this, we've done that. And, you know, we're not perfect. Neither of us were perfect.
Right.
And it was a situation where it was just not a horrible situation, but just beyond salvaging. I think you get to the point of no return almost.
Are you guys better friends today than you were then?
I don't say we're like friends, but we get along. Okay. You know, especially when it's mutual things between the kids and the grandkids and things like that. I mean, right. We get along fine.
Yeah.
And you know, I think just innately we're both happy because we're not. You know, I don't know if you've, you know, heard that expression of hall sex. Well, you know, that's what it had gotten to be. And now we don't have to go through all that. We're not living together anymore. And sometimes the angst of having to live with someone that you're really just not getting along that well with creates more problems than good, you know. So I think we're both happier. No doubt about it. Our kids tell us we're both happier.
You know, and I oftentimes hear this saying where, you know, you don't make me happy anymore. Did that come up in your conversations? You know, my kind of spin on that is that we can enjoy happiness together. I can't really make anybody happy. You're either happy or you're not, and we'll share it and experience it together.
I think that's absolutely the truth. You can't make anybody anything they're not. And I think that's something you were talking about before, about people that get married multiple times. They keep thinking, well, I'll change this person to make them more like the way I want them to be. Nobody changes. You are who you are. And either you get along with the people in those situations. My wife and I just had very divergent interests, too. And I think that makes a big difference, that we were always going in opposite directions to do our entertainment. And, of course, that leads to other things. But, you know, it just, you know, I think I have a brother and his wife that get along. It seems like it's almost sappy, like, my God, it's, you know, how can they get along so well? But they're constantly on the same page. And they've been very successful family as a result of it. Instead of tugging in opposite directions, they were constantly going in the same direction on decisions, on life, financial, everything under the sun. I'm sure they got in their arguments, but they always seemed like they ultimately got on the same page and went together forward. And that's successful marriages. You don't see too many of those. I mean, they're out there, but it's tough to do that. Yeah.
Well,
always be on the same page.
It's work for sure, and it just seems that in some it comes more natural than it does in others. But needless to say, at the end of the day, it is work nonetheless, right?
Everything's work. I mean, you know, I wake up every morning and say I'm going to be happy today, and sometimes I end the day happy. Sometimes I don't end the day happy. But, you know, you have to make yourself happy. You have to agree to not let little things bother you and swallow your pride sometimes, and multiple things that must go on. I don't know if you ever saw the Curb Your Enthusiasm episode with Larry David.
Yeah, when I've seen them all at least twice because they're the funniest of any I've ever seen.
Oh, my God. They were renewing their vows, and she said, till death do us part and through eternity. He goes, wait a minute. What's this eternity thing?
Wait, that's a little bit of a reach. What does that mean? All right.
Yeah.
Well, Chuck, thank you so much.
Thank
you so much for sharing that with us. We appreciate it. I think you're right, though. I mean, you know, sometimes you just you stuck it out for the greater good of the family, and then you realize it's time to, you know, for something else. No one wants to give up, though, right? At the end of the
Absolutely
day.
Not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. I think we all have built into us this need to make things work. At least I always did, but,
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Chuck, thanks so much. Appreciate it. We'll be right back. 260-1870. Stay with us. You know, I was just talking about closets, and on the text line it says, closet just come out. Well, I did. I'm tired of living my life in the secrecy about my desire to have more closet space. So what did I do? I made the conscious decision not to go grab more space, but just to organize what little space I have. What better way to make sure and ensure that you're not going to have a gray divorce? Then I get another text that says, hey, Newell, you got to have the whatever, just say no, lesson over. Tried that a couple times. Didn't work very well for me. Might work better for you. I kind of like my approach a little better. I called California Closets and had them let me organize my 20%. And when the wife responds by saying, how did you get that much? I think that conversation is over, don't you? And then you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. And you got to know when to say no. And to say yes, that's the lesson that I've learned, at least about closets. So I am out of the closet. I wanted the world to know that I am unhappy about having the minimal space that's been assigned to me in my relationship. And I guess if I want it to last, I'm just going to have to be satisfied that way. We got to get to another break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Well, my thoughts and prayers go out to Dr. Mark Peters' family, his wife Kim and his son. Mark passed early Saturday morning at 66 years of age. He was fighting pancreatic cancer, and that diagnosis actually forced him to retire in 2017. I worked with Mark the entire time that he was at East Jefferson General Hospital, having served on the board there in excess of 20 years, and really enjoyed working with Dr. Mark Peters. He was a true gentleman, and I mean that in the truest sense of the word. He was a gentleman. He sincerely cared for the patients at East Jeff. It was not unlike him to go out on the floors, in the halls, to talk to the employees and the patients as well, to find out how they were doing and whether or not they were getting the care that they needed. He was the chief medical officer when he started there in, I think it was around 2002 or around 2000, and then became the CEO of the organization. He actually led the Coalition of Leaders for Louisiana Healthcare for a while, an organization of business leaders, to make sure that healthcare in this state was a priority and to help modernize that delivery system in the aftermath of Katrina. I was actually the chairman of the board during Katrina, and the incredible things that he did in keeping that place open and serving the constituents of East Jefferson in the aftermath of Katrina was absolutely incredible. And we'll always have a sense of indebtedness to his leadership in leading that hospital, and was also instrumental in the partnership that we have with MD Anderson and what we have been able to do and develop on the East Jefferson Hospital campus relative to cancer care. Visitation will be Friday from 10 to noon at St. Catherine of Siena Catholic Church, with a funeral mass, afterwards at noon. And, our best goes out to, Dr. Mark Peters' family. Our thoughts and prayers are with you. We completely appreciate the fact that you shared him with us, and truly enjoyed my day to day. Work with Dr. Mark Peters. Just wanted to remind everybody, Saints preseason game number 3 is Saturday. The Black and Gold are going to battle the Jets in New York, and our coverage on WWL Radio is going to start at 2 o'clock. The Acadian Windows Fans First Take with former Saints offensive lineman Steve Korth and, of course, Seth Dunlop at 4:30, joined the first QB to lead the Saints to the playoffs, Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, Bud Light countdown to kickoff. And then at 3 o'clock, voice of the Saints, Zach Strief and Deuce McAllister and Steve Geller on the sidelines. And then the point after, Cajun Cannon and Christian until 1 a.m. on Saturday. A lot of things happening in that respect. Scoot is up next. I think he may be going to see Queen tonight as well. I'm very much looking forward to seeing Adam Lambert in the role, I guess, or taking the place of Freddie Mercury and Queen. Want to thank everybody for their participation. See you again tomorrow.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.